Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's going on? Jake Coe here with you. You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. Great show we got in front of us here today. Joined alongside by the Fantasy Map, one half of the Fantasy Danger Zone as well. My tag team compadre, Adam Wright in the building.
What's up, James Coe?
How you doing, pal?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be joining you once again.
Once again?
I really wish, I don't know if this would be too much of an ask, but I thought like having Brock Lesnar's music.
Oh, just pop
when
it.
Because I'm like an attraction that shows up every once in a while. I hold, and that actually reminds me that Brock Lesnar has inspired me. I think this year in the NFL Fantasy Live League,
yes,
I'm not going to defend the title.
You're not.
I'm not going to be in the league.
Oh, you're not?
I'm going to be like Lesnar. I'm not going to defend the title this year. You guys can compete for it in 2019.
So what, are you going to go to like NBA fantasy
instead? I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to take some time off and just sit there and have Paul Heyman come in and yell promos for me.
Wait, who won the title this
year? He still holds the title.
No, but I'm saying who won it in our league this year?
I did.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
How dare you? Well, I understand when you don't make the playoffs, you lose interest.
Oh, wow.
I don't mean that in a bad way.
Did I make the playoffs?
I'm just trying to
I
say.
I really honestly don't remember.
I'm just trying to say. But that's something I can understand, yeah.
Okay. MG,
this level of commitment, I'm surprised you didn't do better.
My level of commitment. Marcus Grant, what's going on, pal?
Laurel.
Can we not?
It is Yanny, and anyone who says otherwise
is
a liar.
So we had this argument actually before we started the show, and I was saying that I listened to it on my computer, and it was completely and totally and 100% couldn't be anything other than Laurel.
Yes.
And then I listened to it on my phone, and it was totally Yanny. So, like, I guess it just depends.
We've unlocked the code.
It depends on the quality of speaker and stuff you're listening to it through. Whatever.
Who cares?
Don't hit him with logic.
What? Jeez. Don't be such a wet blanket on this thing, this internet debate, Alex Gilhar.
These things are so annoying.
I love it.
This, the dress, all the stupid things.
Is it blue or gold, bud?
I did see one about a shoe, whether or not it's, like, green or pink or something like that.
No. Nope.
What color were the laces or something? Yeah.
For those people that don't follow along, Twitter and the internet get into these stupid debates about things that are all like kind of a matter of perception or settings on your computer or whatever. And then people argue about them and make it seem like they're important and they're awful.
Reality.
They should all just go away.
Reality does not exist.
It's like that that drawing, you know, where if you look at it one way, it's like a bunny rabbit, and if you look at it the other way, it's like a duck or like a lady in a hat or something
that.
For those who aren't on Twitter and are like, what the hell are they talking about, Laurel and Yanny? It's that kind of stupid stuff.
But
people get really upset about it.
It's like a terrible bar debate.
It is.
Which normally, it would just be confined to that terrible bar,
uh-huh.
Like Kilroy's on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Heil and Huntington Beach.
This is worldwide, baby.
This is a bar argument that has spiraled worldwide with everybody now weighing in.
I love it. Producer Christina in the building. What's going on? How you doing?
I'm great.
Yeah?
Just listening to the debate.
Okay, are you Yanny or Laurel? What's going on?
Well, I mean, like Marcus, I heard Yanny at one point, and now I hear Laurel.
Okay.
So it all plays off of your settings and everything. So in
reality,
theory, everyone's right.
Okay.
It just depends on what you're listening to.
So what you're telling me is that nothing is real.
Nothing's real.
And we should all eat Arby's.
This is a simulation. We should all eat Arby's.
Exactly.
All right.
It's all a work.
It's all good. We've got a great
show. Speaking of work.
In front of us here today. We've been waiting maybe a couple weeks here, but it's a draft recap part two coming up. We're going to be talking about some later round guys because that's what we do here on the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. We talk about everybody, man. Going to get some later round guys that could be potential sleepers in fantasy. Some guys that you just need to keep your eye on. Maybe they're not draftable as of yet, but just names that you should be aware of in particular backfields, maybe potential wide receiver sleepers that could sneak up on you and do some damage later in the year as well. But, the big part of the show today, it's the mock draft. We did a mock draft for all you degenerates out there.
Yes, we
first staff mock draft of the year. It was a good one.
A post-draft mock draft.
A post-draft mock draft. First of the season. For us fantasy degenerates out here. So it's good. Alex Gilhar wrote a great piece. You could find that on NFL.com/ fantasy. But yeah, a lot of, I think, interesting early initial values for guys that are, you know, it's interesting, man, because there are certain guys that are very polarizing.
Absolutely.
And especially now in May, people don't understand the value, but when it gets around to August, I think more people will be, I don't know, I don't want to say in consensus, but kind of understand where the people who are have been following fantasy value are now moving guys up, moving guys down. So
that's why it's so important to do mocks this time of the year, though, because nothing, you know, nothing that you do in this mock is going to stick or should stick to your final draft strategy in August.
Right.
However, it gives you a great sense of who might be, how other people are viewing certain players, like who might be going higher than you think, who you might be able to get later. And that's why it's important to mock all throughout the summer so you can adjust those expectations and get dialed in for draft day.
100% agree.
I also believe that if you're doing it with the group that you're going to be drafting with in September and August and everything like that, you can start to inception people.
Yes.
Which is important.
And just start drafting them early and just getting people on the radar. And it sucks, though, when you accidentally don't mean to do it, but you're like, oh, God, I let the secret out of the bag.
You put it out into the universe.
Like, oh, I drafted this player, and then there's that guy in your league who or girl who only drafts, like, big-name players who will be like, oh, I got to take a note of that. And then
all of a sudden,
Curtin Jerker McGee goes off the round, off the board in the fifth round. You're like, gosh, dang it. Why did I even bring it? Why did I mention it? I know my friends who live in Corona do that to me all the time, like watching the shows.
Okay.
They're like, oh, Rank loves
Royce Freeman. I'm going to go take Royce Freeman.
Taking him in the second.
Right.
Dang it.
All right, there you go. Like I said, great show for us here today, but let's start with your top fantasy headline.
We really do have breaking news.
Hey, did you guys know that the Eagles, the Patriots, are playing in the Super Bowl?
That is breaking news.
Breaking news.
News. Actually, the funny thing is we have no news, but I just wanted to hear that. I really just wanted to hear that just because that makes my day, so what the hell, why not? Let's get
into it. There's news?
Yeah, sure, what the hell, why not? Not really. I mean, there is a little bit, but not really.
Jason Witten said that Dez Bryant's going to the Packers.
I know, there's been a lot of Packers to Dez rumors. But
Packers said,
or Dez
nah.
Rumors. Yeah, I don't know. Not imminent.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows what the hell's going on? But, you know, I kind of went through and looked at all the stuff, and there's not really anything that moves the needle for me. So who cares? Let's just get into the draft recap part two. Let's talk about running backs. Naheem? I think it's Naheem. Hines?
Naheem Hines.
There you go. That's what it is. Naheem Hines from North Carolina State, drafted in the fourth round. Jordan Wilkins from Ole Miss, drafted in the fifth round. They both go to the Colts, a team that has moved on from Frank Gore. Marlon Mack just had shoulder surgery. Reportedly will be back for training camp.
They also had Terrence West stop by just to
– Terrence West got a little meet and greet there.
We went to Jacksonville on Wednesday, too.
He's also going there.
He's touring.
Yeah, he's doing –
those agents sending him around the country to some of the more underrated cities in America.
There you go. So Hines and Wilkins in Indianapolis. A lot of people really, really, really like Marlon Mack going into 2018. I'm not one of those people, despite the fact that he had a terrific 40 time.
Yeah, that's a shock.
That's ridiculous. That's a huge upset.
I know. I'm breaking off from brand here. But the coaching staff there in Indianapolis also praised Hines's pass-catching ability. So you kind of get the feeling that one of these two guys may have a real chance to stick in that backfield. And, again, Marlon Mack, who struggled in pass protection last year, certainly will be given all the opportunity to start. But I just think that as of right now, I think it's a wide-open competition there in Indianapolis. Adam, rank your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm starting to do more and more mock drafts and trying to figure out where to slot guys in. And I'm probably a bigger Marlon Mack proponent than anybody else. But where you would have to take him, and I'm looking at some of the other players that are going off the board, I would prefer to wait. I think that Mack still has the lead, the edge on the job. I know we talked about this last week about his shoulder, to which I said, you know, he doesn't have the worst shoulder
on the
Colts organization. So I think he's got that going for him. I was impressed with him in limited spurts last year. I don't think that he was given a full opportunity to really showcase what he can do, and obviously it's going to be a little bit different this season with Quentin Nelson in there. They also drafted drafted an SEC lineman from Auburn, and I won't pretend to be like, this guy's amazing. I'm like, he played football in the SEC, so I'm assuming he's good. That's
John Kelly comes back from injury as well.
Yeah, so there's going to be an opportunity. So it's one of those situations where I want a share of that Colts backfield, and I just fear that if you take Mac, you've got to take both of them because you can't be left out of the cold, and that always scares me.
Do you really want to do that for this backfield?
Well, that's the thing, is where you're going to be drafting people based on values and everything like that. Why wouldn't you wait for Hines? I mean, where you have to go in on Mac, I like him, and if he continues to stumble and I can get a reasonable price on it.
What's a reasonable price for you?
It's got at least
80s, 90s, 100s.
I would say hundreds.
Yeah.
Kind of works out for me.
I agree.
But it's like when you
double digit rounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
He went at 96 overall in round 8 of our mock that we'll talk about later. And also, I wouldn't discount Jordan Wilkins. A lot of draft Twitter people
really like him too
because
that's what I'm saying.
Hines is built a little smaller. I think he's like 5'8", just a touch under 200 or so.
That's right.
Some people at Colts blogs have said maybe he'll be Frank Reich's version of Darren Sproles. Right. And Frank Reich's coming from an Eagles team where they just rode a pretty significant backfield committee all the way to the Super Bowl. So there may not be a clear-cut winner. I think it's worth taking a stab at some of these guys, but you definitely don't want to do it until the later rounds.
Well, and you know, Rank sort of alluded to it. I mean, how much of the cult projections that we're doing right now have to do with whether or not Andrew Luck is back? I mean, we've reached, I believe it's 500 days of summer for Andrew Luck not having thrown a football in anger.
It's getting long.
It's so long.
And we could have another season of Jake Brisket on
our
hands.
We could. I mean, we really, really could.
I don't hate it.
No, I don't hate it.
Obviously, he played well last year, but it is a different look.
I mean, he got murdered behind that line.
Well, so did Andrew Luck.
I mean, everyone did. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I don't hate it, actually. I mean, they have probably one of the best backup quarterback situations in the league, quite honestly. I thought Jacoby Brissett played well.
Given what was around him and everything, absolutely.
I mean, just traded out of the blue. I mean, had no time to pick up the playbook. And
like, what, he traded like in week one or like right before it, basically?
Something, yeah. He definitely didn't start week one.
No, because Scott Tolzien did when they got blasted by the Rams, like 50-6 or something like that.
So bad, yeah.
Exactly. But they had to start clearing the decks for Brian Hoyer. New England.
Right, exactly. Makes a lot of sense. All right, let's go to South Beach. Kalen Ballage from Arizona State University went to Miami. Speaking of Frank Gore, who went from Indianapolis to Miami, I guess there's questions here because, look, Kalen Ballage is a terrific athlete. I won't give you all the, you know, stuff, but great athlete from ASU. Wasn't a full-time running back. What am I trying to say? He was a committee back there with Arizona State as well. So there's questions as to why was he a committee back at Arizona State, a terrific
Graham
athlete.
Didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, that's probably that as well.
I mean, a defensive-minded coach who didn't last.
Right.
I mean, it wouldn't have been any better having Herm Edwards in there. But, again, Ballage just reminds me of one of those guys who plays in a committee in college, gets to the NFL, and really starts to excel. And,
sure.
And you look back at those teams like, what were you thinking?
What were you doing, bro?
It's like the LSU syndrome. And I think that Arizona State kind of does that a lot in the Pac-12, where you get studs coming out of there.
Right.
And so I really like him. We're doing our list of sleepers and breakout. I forget where I put him in what list, whether it was sleeper, deep sleeper, or breakout. But I did note him because I think people should pay attention to him.
Yeah.
In the coming drafts, I was impressed with him in a number. I love the Pac-12 After Dark. I love staying up late for those games.
Yeah.
So I was really impressed with him.
Me too. I liked him a lot.
But I love Pac-12 running backs.
You do have a soft spot for them. I think this is going to be a position bet. Potentially battle we have to watch in training camp in the preseason, just because Drake, as electric as he was last year, also has, the thing I mentioned this on last pod, has really never been a featured guy. And Adam Gase was a big fan of Kalen Ballage. He said a lot of nice things about him. Here's a quote after they drafted him. He said he's a big man that runs fast and can catch the ball well. He really has all of the things that you're looking for in an all-around back. It'll be fun to see how he progresses and how things go, how quick he learns everything and how he fits in with the group. And then he also said a little later, you just need to need that open competition. You just want to try and create as much competition and practice as possible when we get to the preseason, see who kind of really steps up and pushes themselves to the forefront.
I mean, Gore's done, right? I mean, can we finally just put Gore to rest? Or
I think he's a
never.
I mean, he still might run for, like, you know, 700 yards this year just because he's Frank Gore.
If that dude somehow in Miami closes out his career with another
1,200 yards?
1,100 total yard season, just like, what the hell?
What's this? I mean, God,
like the, it's
unbelievable,
like the bad guy in Scream. He just keeps coming back.
It's amazing what he's able to do.
Like, no, we got to – I want – not until I –
And this guy's never played in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, he's played in the playoffs.
He's a Super Bowl with the Niners.
Was he on that team?
Yeah, he was on that Niners team.
Yes.
Okay.
Because there were a lot of people that said they should have given him the ball
instead of like throwing four fades to the corner of the end zone. Let's give Frank Gore a shot. One time, huh?
Marcus, as a 49ers fan, is not bitter about that at all.
Certainly this backfield, though, is interesting now, or I guess it's a little bit of a muddy, you know, backfield, considering Kalen Ballage, great athlete out of Arizona State. And again, you know, the coaching staff heaping praise on him. And then there's Frank Gore, too, the wily vet who seems to just always be there. Meanwhile, Kenyon Drake is being drafted pretty high. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of folks feel really great about Kenyon Drake, especially the way he closed out last season. What do we do? What's the level of concern with Kenyon Drake, Adam Reich?
The Dolphins, it's weird because the Dolphins have a better roster than I think a lot of people believe. They've let a lot of big names go. Like Jarvis Landry's gone. Adamican Sue's gone.
Mike Pouncey's
the big one up the middle. Yeah, that's another one, too. Like, when you start thinking about free agent moves, and I don't mean to get off track, but Pouncey going to the Chargers
is
so
huge
them.
Right.
But overall, like, looking at their defense, I think they can be competitive. So one of the things that you would really want to look at when you see a player like Kenyon Drake is if he can have a role similar to what, like, Chris Thompson was doing last year, where he was a very valuable commodity, especially in PPR leagues, because the Redskins were trailing in a lot of games. They were in a lot of passing situations.
Right.
And so you wonder, you know, could the Dolphins be in a similar type of mode this year, you know, where they're trailing in a lot of games and Tannehill's trying to rally them back, and that would mean a lot more opportunities. But I think the Dolphins could be better, so it kind of brings it back a little bit. So I'm not as excited for Kenyon Drake where his ADP is currently. And
yeah.
I just wouldn't risk it.
I think he's going somewhere in the fifth round. Where'd he go in our mock draft?
I think he went in the fifth.
I thought he went – okay.
Maybe the sixth.
So fifth or sixth round, it's
– I would still want to wait a little bit because I ended up getting, I think –
Actually, he might have gone in four. He went in round four.
That's what I thought, yeah. I thought it was a fourth round thing where I got Chris Thompson in the sixth or – I think I got him in the seventh round or something like that. So I would rather just have that guy.
All right, let me go around the room real quick. Fourth round for Kenyon
Drake.
That's
too much for me.
Okay, too pricey.
In a 12-team league, that's probably what you're going
to
do.
So, like, you know, like around, like, pick 40, 45.
Yeah.
Too pricey for Adam Reich.
Which is fine. I'm
not going to feel great about it.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be happy with that.
I know if he was there, I would have been thinking long and hard about him. I don't know that I would have pulled the trigger because I picked a few places after Harmon in that draft.
So
I ended up I actually took Jordan Howard over him, I think.
Yes, you did.
Also, I think it depends on how your draft unfolds in that area. If Kenyon Drake is going to be your RB2 or even your RB3, then that's great.
That's fine.
Okay. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
if you went
like Ezekiel Elliott in the first round and you want to roll the dice, I'm not going to be too
– If you've gone like wide receiver heavy or scooped up Gronk in the third or something and Kenyon Drake's going to be your RB1, that's a little dicey.
This is it's crazy to me, though, because I tell you what, before the draft happened and before, of course, Frank Gore got signed over there, so free agency and all that, I got to be honest with you. I think a lot of fantasy folks had Kenyon Drake as a potential top 15 pick.
Easily.
No doubt,
right?
A lot
of people were very excited about it.
But
the Dolphins invested free agent capital, even though it's just Frank Gore.
Right.
It doesn't seem like a big deal.
Still something.
And you draft Ballage.
Right. Like, still something. You know what I mean?
But I think that's the problem is that a lot of teams are doing that, where you have the big bowling ball who's going to be your early down guy.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to come in like Kenyon Drake, or it's going to be Chris Thompson.
I think Ballage might be a goal line guy.
Could be.
You know what I mean?
As well. Yeah. You know, and there's – so you got to address the situation
right.
And say who's going to be – who's the – I always look at it too, like who's going to be the most competitive team, who's going to be in shootouts, who could be using this guy. It's dodgy to think about like in week 14, are the Dolphins going to be in the middle of it? Are they going to be done?
Sure.
But it's just something to consider. Yeah. And when you're all trying to assign values to certain players and positions, I think it's important to bring all that in.
Little known Chase Edmonds from Fordham goes to Arizona. He was drafted in the fourth round as well. He's going to compete with TJ Logan for backup duties to David Johnson. comparisons anyways to Charkandrick West. He kind of has that similar size, build, and
I would imagine Edmonds wins the backup job, and if you're the type of person that drafts handcuffs, I'm not super into it. He's the one to have.
Just, again, David a Johnson. Name, certainly a name to know. That's all. John Kelly from Tennessee. Now, this one is interesting. John Kelly from Tennessee, he goes to L.A., drafted in the sixth round, a potential backup to Todd Gurley. I will imagine he will compete with Justin Davis and Malcolm Brown for backup duties there. I'm telling you, man, a lot of draft folks really like this John Kelly kid from Tennessee.
That's cool. Todd Gurley's still there, though.
Yeah.
Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley's still there. There's no question. I'm just saying he's a high-value backup if you want to play that game. Because, again, in L.A., if something were to happen to Todd Gurley, heaven forbid, guaranteed you're going to scoop up the next guy up. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be spending your number one waiver priority to go pick up that guy.
True, except it's good to keep in mind, though, that if something were to happen to Todd Gurley, they're not just going to suddenly load up one of these guys. It is definitely going to be a bit of – and maybe you're trying to find the lead. Maybe John Kelly is the lead of that committee.
Right, right.
But it will be
all these
Kelly
guys won't. All these
and
guys
Justin
won't,
Davis and Malcolm
see,
Brown.
That's the thing. Not all these guys are going to survive. I mean, they'll go to OTAs and do all the training camp stuff. But final, 53 – one of these guys got to get – they're not going to hold five running backs, you know what I'm saying? So one of these guys is going to get cut. Maybe two of these guys will get cut too. So it's just, again, just a name to keep in mind. But John Kelly from Tennessee, I really liked what I saw on tape from him as well. But I tell you what, man, I really –
Tennessee running backs, am I right?
Sure, Arian Foster.
Alvin Kamara.
Yeah. No, but I really like Justin Davis too, second-year player out of USC. I really liked him coming in. I don't know why he didn't get more.
I mean, he was an undrafted free agent.
Right.
Signed with the Rams.
That's what I'm saying.
Got to stay in the Coliseum. But, yeah, I mean, he was a guy that even at SC was never.
A rotational guy.
He was always a rotational guy.
Yeah.
And I think that probably hurt him, especially on some SC teams that, you know, weren't necessarily renowned for their run blocking or their running game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it probably hurt him a little bit.
There you go. So, yeah, again, just names to keep in mind if you are getting late and deep into your draft. All right, let's talk about wide receivers now. Deion Kane out of Clemson, Darius Fountain out of Northern Iowa. They both go to the Colts.
Who needs some wide receiver
help. Oh, my God, do they ever. They've got T.Y. Hilton. They signed Ryan Grant in free agency, remember. Speaking of free agency, Dante Moncrief was let go. He went to Duval. So, there is a clear need for wide receivers there in Indianapolis. Again, Deion Kane, great speed. Darius Fountain, big boy. I'm not saying that either one of these guys is draftable.
But you are. Clemson
but
receivers.
Am I right?
Am I right?
I'm doing a historical
I'm not a fan of Deion Kane, personally.
Me neither. But.
Wait, why not?
He's got the speed. I don't know. It didn't look like he was a great. How do I put this?
Receiver?
Receiver of the ball. He's not great at catching.
And he's fast, there's no doubt. There's just, when I watched him, I felt like there was a lot lacking.
I think.
I kind of like
Fountain. He's an explosive athlete. He seems a little raw, but he was like a four-year starter, so.
He seems like Moncrief 2.0.
Yeah, he was a couple-year starter at least. I forget exactly what it was, but he might be the one to circle there and see how things progress. Similarly, though, and not to be a homer here, but the Packers drafted a bunch of wide receivers.
Yeah.
And that'll be a position battle to watch because in the event that Randall Cobb never gets back to 2014 form, which could completely happen.
It's a long time ago.
Jamon Moore, Marquez.
Yeah, can I ask you about Jamon Moore? I saw that you had drafted him. I have no idea who Jamon Moore is.
I think I just threw a dart at him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I mean,
for kicks and giggles.
Who is this guy?
He's a sudden athlete. He's big. He's fast. That's what the Packers needed. They drafted three guys that are all big and fast.
Oh, okay.
For some reason, Equanimeous St. Brown continues to go higher than Jamon Moore, even though the Packers
name value.
It's name value, but
name value.
But the Packers took
Notre Dame.
They
Let's
took
go.
More like 74 picks before they took Brown, and then they took another receiver before they took St.
Although
Brown,
there was some head scratching as to how it was that St. Brown fell as far as
character.
He did.
Character. He didn't test super well either, and it's. I think people are afraid of the dad situation being like what the heck's
LeVar
his name?
Ball.
LeVar Ball. Yeah, exactly. But Moore is a really sudden
somebody
athlete.
From,
he's
somebody
good.
Lives in Orange County. You don't need to worry about that at all.
But that's just going to be a position battle to watch. And they also have Geronimo Allison and Michael Clark as incumbents there. But, right. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers is healthy for a full season, he's going to lift the fantasy tides of all the boats in that offense. Okay. So
there you go. Another wide receiver sleeper name.
It's just one of the most – I don't know. It's probably only matters to me. But it's so weird that St. Brown, his two brothers go to modern day.
Yeah.
He went to Servite.
That's a Servite.
He went to the rival. So they went to rival high schools, and then he went, and then now they're going to once at USC. Went to Notre Dame. It's like, why?
Maybe.
Why do you try? Like, he's trying to cause conflict in his family.
As
you're raising two kids, it's like you're gonna be a Bears fan, and you're gonna be a Vikings.
I think.
Just so you guys will argue forever.
I honestly think they don't care.
As an aside.
I know they don't care.
It's just piece of laundry.
Like when you see somebody walking around and they've got like a Packers head on with a Lions jersey. You're like, what are you doing? I can't endorse this.
Okay. All right.
Can I also ask, is Southern California like the cradle of domineering sports parents?
It's got to be.
Between LeVar Ball, Marv Marinovich, Richard Williams, father of Venus and Serena.
Nice.
Tiger Woods' dad.
Tiger Woods, Earl Woods.
They're from
Orange County.
Orange County?
What,
I didn't know that.
Woods fam? Dude, what are you talking about?
As far as I know.
How is this possible?
As far as I know, he entered consciousness wearing a Stanford hat. That's all I needed to know. Didn't like him.
He went to Western High School.
Okay.
And everybody knows this. He has
obviously not.
He has a course record at the Fallen Cypress Golf Course. Like, he's our guy. Like, this is the thing. Like, I see people who are, like, Boston fans.
Okay.
Over the weekend, they're chirping about Tiger Woods. Like, this is great. I'm like, why is this great to you? Why are you rooting for Tiger Woods? He's our guy. He's L.A.
I see. Okay.
That's like you
now
watching.
Now I see where this is coming from. Okay.
He's an L.A. guy. Like, you don't.
Right.
The rest of the country doesn't get to root for Tiger Woods. I don't know if that's ever been established, but I'm establishing it right now. And by the way, I was at the Angels game on Sunday watching Ohtani deal,
God.
And they showed the score of the Cavaliers-Boston game.
Yeah.
Boston crushed them. And this dude in front of me started clapping, and I told him to get out. I'm like, we're a never Boston, a never Celtic situation here. I don't care how much you hate LeBron James. You will not sit here and root for the Celtics. Get out of here. You're banned.
Okay. Wow.
Go root for the Clippers and the Dodgers.
Let's wrap up our rookie tight end and get onto the track. The mock, which
OC.
I'm sure will go quickly.
Look at OC bro over here just getting crazy.
Tiger Woods, though. That's okay, he's an Orange County.
Hey, listen, a tight end, Hayden Hurst from South Carolina. He goes to Baltimore. Just look, they need tight end help. Hayden Hurst is a name. Rookie tight ends generally don't do anything. I don't think he'll probably do anything either. Just a name to keep in mind there.
Remember when the Ravens had like five tight ends and none of them – I mean, Dennis Pitta was hurt.
Yeah, Max Williams.
Crockett
Gilmore got hurt. Ben Watson tore or something. So he got hurt.
I mean, they cannot keep a tight end.
So
Hayden Hurst.
Whatever, he's there.
The rookie tight end to circle, I think, is Mike Gesicki, though, because he is.
Without a doubt.
He is a freakish athlete. All of his things are in, like, the 90-plus percentile. Like, aside from, like, maybe his weight or whatever from his position, but, like, his three-cone drill, his broad jump, his 40, his vertical, like, all, his shuttle, all those things, 90-plus percentile. Adam Gase is a guy that's had a history of getting the most out of athletic tight ends. And I tweeted this yesterday with, as you mentioned, Rank. They lost the Dolphins, let a lot of guys go. Jarvis Landry, they traded away. They cut Julius Thomas. 42% of their red zone targets are up for grabs from last year. And now they just drafted a 6'6" freakish athlete tight end.
Devontae Parker. I can't even say Devontae.
Right, because this is the year, James.
This is finally it.
2018.
I thought that the Ravens
finally.
It's the year.
Who knows?
I'd get Gesicki over Hayden Hurst. I was surprised the Ravens didn't go in that direction.
Well, Hurst is also like a year younger than me, basically. But no, I mean, he's not. He's like 24 or 25, honestly.
Right. But Gesicki, I mean, because he was ridiculously productive at Penn State.
Oh, he was.
Yes. Yeah.
Indeed. Very productive.
Because people, he got not overshadowed, but one of the reasons that you would go out and watch him is you'd be, you know, tuning in to see Penn State.
You watch Barkley, Saquon.
Barkley, and you're like, who is this fool?
Yeah.
This guy's amazing.
Right.
I can't remember. Was it the Rose Bowl?
Well, the Rose Bowl, in that Rose Bowl game, because I was actually at that game. I mean, the three guys you remember are obviously Darnold. Saquon. Well, okay, so four. Darnold, Saquon, Chris Godwin went berserk in that game, and Mike Gesicki made a couple of ridiculous catches in that one as well. Well, yeah,
there you go. Dallas Goedert out of South Dakota State goes to Philadelphia. Just, again, probably not going to do anything, but whatever.
They want to use two tight ends there. I mean, obviously,
Zach
Ertz is going to be primarily the pass-catching tight end.
Trey Burton moves on to Chicago.
Right, so in theory, Goddard sort of slides into that role a little
bit. That's a nice move, by the way, Trey Burton.
I love that move.
Oh, yeah.
I drafted him in our mock.
And Dallas Goedert, I just assume he's a good player. I think the Eagles now have that equity of, like, they draft a guy or they bring him. I'm like, oh, he's probably good. He's probably good.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if that helps for fantasy, but I just think as a general player.
All right, let's talk about the mock, shall we?
Let's.
Alex Gilhart wrote a terrific piece kind of critiquing everyone's picks and talking about his own picks. Good piece. I liked it. So it's NFL.com/fantasy. Go check it out today. Or you could just go to his writer page, NFL.com/Gelhart.
Correct.
All right, so there you go. Let's talk about the mock draft. Again, it was a 12-team PPR mock draft. It was a slow style, so we kind of did it by email. So it took a week.
Much preferable to me, though, because lots of times trying to organize 12 people's schedules to do an hour-long mock can also take me a week.
Right. No, this was the way to go for sure. So I appreciated it. All right, so the first round kind of went, as you thought it might go. So, all your usual cast of characters, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, all those guys. Okay, so that all went in the first round. Okay, so in the second round, this is where we start seeing a little bit where we start seeing some variance and maybe some surprises as well. So Juju Smith-Schuster went in the second round, 22nd overall. So late in the second.
Wide receiver 11.
I was
shocked.
Who took him?
Stunned.
Pat Doherty.
Roto Pat.
I was stunned by that pick. I thought he was going to be a fourth round, fifth round guy. Was it a crazy bold move, or is that going to be the price for Juju?
I think it's bold for the moment, but it's banking on the way he finished the season and hoping that carries over into the next season because, I mean, the Pittsburgh offense is prolific, but most of it funnels through Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell.
Right.
However, down the stretch last year, Juju Smith's targets were 10, 7, 8, 5, 6, 7, and 10. And he had three 100-plus yard games, another one at 97, and he scored four touchdowns in that span as well. So if that sort of level of consistency, when both Brown and Bell were, for the most part, healthy, Brown missed, one game at the end of the season, two? You know,
16, I think, yeah. But
there's certainly an expectation that Juju could turn. I mean, he had 917 yards and seven touchdowns as a rookie last year.
Also, remember, Martavis Bryant is also out of the mix.
And Martavis Bryant is out of the picture. So I think RotoPat is just kind of connecting all of the dots and anticipating a big next step. I think it's a bit of a risk, especially given the fact that right after he took Juju, Marcus took Stephon Diggs, and then J.J. Zacharyson from Number Fire, who also did the mock with us, took Adam Thielen.
Right.
And Doug Baldwin went in the next round, I think, or two rounds later.
Tyreek Hill also taken after that.
So I feel like there you could tell yourself a story where that pick makes sense, and at the end of the year, you're looking back like, man, what a pick for him to jump on Juju in the second. But right now, kind of the opportunity cost is a little tough to go with.
Jay Ajayi continues to be a polarizing draft pick. I drafted him in the mock, and I thought this was – I took him in the fourth round. So it was, early in the fourth, pick number 40 overall. Kenyon Drake went exactly one pick later. I'm surprised because LeGarrette Blount now is in Detroit. Corey Clement, who I absolutely adore, is also in the backfield. But to me, it's LeGarrette Blount's backfield as of right now. To get that guy in the fourth round, I loved that pick. And yet, when I post it, that's the pick that I think most everyone hated. So now I'm confused.
Well, it's hard because there's a lot of picks of yours to hate. I want to focus.
Got him.
Right.
Got him.
Exactly right. No, but I love that pick, and most everybody seemed to hate that pick. So I guess the question is, who's right here?
I think the trouble is a lot of people, especially this time of the year, have a very difficult time distancing themselves from what happened last year. And if people drafted Jay Ajayi last year, they drafted him in the first round. Probably a top eight pick.
I got you.
And they got absolutely hosed on that.
Right.
So they're letting that cloud their judgment. And they're also remembering, he didn't Ajayi didn't light it up down the stretch either in Philadelphia. He had some nice games in the playoffs, but nothing like
he didn't get a lot of touches.
A massive fantasy thing. So, right. Yeah, I think people are letting that recency bias cloud their judgment. I think it's a fine pick because if he he has that potential off-field issue of, like, that he was renting a mansion in L.A. and trashed it or something. I don't know if that's going to have any bearing on the season or not, or whether it's true or not. But it should primarily be, like, a 1-2 backfield with him and Corey Clement.
That's what I'm saying.
In a high-powered Eagles offense. Like,
high-scoring offense. You're getting the lead back.
Who can catch passes.
I don't understand. What is there not to like about Jay Ajayi?
I think it's a fine fourth-round pick.
I'm just confused by that. All right, so Kenyon Drake or Jay Ajayi, who would you rather have, Adam Rank?
Jay Ajayi.
Marcus Trent.
Ajayi.
Oh, there you go.
I generally want the running back that's in the higher scoring.
He's in a better offense, yeah.
There you go. We go one pick later. Corey Davis is another guy that I think a lot of folks are a little bit torn on. Some people seem to really like Corey Davis. Other people are like, who's Corey Davis and why do I care about Corey Davis? I took Corey Davis in the fifth round, 57th overall, so back into the fifth. I guess here's another question. Is Corey Davis a guy that industry people just will always love a lot more than your home league?
Well, I think also that the offensive coordinator that they brought in gives us hope that they're going to run a modern NFL offense.
Because
there's a little bit of a concern when you bring in a guy like Teddy Bruschi. When you bring in
Thinking of Patriots linebacker.
Mike Vrabel.
Whatever anonymous Patriots linebacker.
Rob Ninkovich?
Ninkovich.
He was more of a defensive end. He played both.
But there is a concern when you have a guy who's not really a highly sought-after coordinator
or right.
a highly sought-after coaching candidate who comes in, you're like, oh, boy, is this going to be a guy who's like, we're going to just pound the ball 3 yards in a cloud of dust. But no, he brings in a coordinator from the LA Rams, which means that they're going to try to do some creative things with Marcus Mariota. And I think that that gives the rub to a lot of their offensive players. And I think Corey Davis in the fifth round is a pretty good spot. I think people will be upset because last year they probably, again, another player that they probably invested in heavily. He was a rookie last year. He was the fifth overall selection, though. And a lot of people had high expectations that he was just going to come in
and
automatically dominate. He had, like, I think it was – if the final number was, he had 12,000 receptions at Central Michigan. So I think people just thought that would come in and translate.
Quite the NCAA record.
Yes.
12,000 receptions.
It. He was out there rowing the boat.
Roll that boat.
And catching the ball.
So roll that
again,
boat.
People, like Alex said, a lot of people, once you get burned by a player, it's hard to get back and trust them again.
Yeah.
And people just look at – they're not looking at it critically. Like, this is going to be a modern offense. That's gonna do a lot of fun things
and
offensive line and a great young quarterback. I love everything about it. I thought that was a pretty good pick.
Well, the other part of it though is we sit here and we say this and we're like, yeah, you know, it's gonna be a new offense. It's gonna be modern. It's gonna be better. It's gonna be, but like history is not on our side here, okay? Because I think people look at that. You look not even necessarily looking at numbers about it, but just thinking about the Titans offense. You think about the Titans passing game. Do you get excited?
No.
Do you get little tinglies in your stomach? No.
No.
Like
yes.
You go back.
Wait. Yes.
You go back. No. You go back. I as we were sitting here talking, I went back every year going back all the way to 2012. The best they have ever finished is as the 21st rated passing offense. And it's hard to get excited. You can sit here and tell me how talented a certain receiver is or how talented a quarterback is, but if they haven't shown me on the field that they can actually move the ball through the air, why am I going to spend a lot of fantasy draft capital on this guy?
Because
it's not.
But it's a different coaching staff.
I mean, but they've been through different coaching staffs before. I mean, look, I get what you're saying. Intellectually, I do. But I think the perception for people is like, I don't want any part of this passing game.
Sure,
like, there's nothing about it that's exciting.
Well, it was like the Rams last year. Nobody wanted to touch that offense because it was Rams, LOL, for a decade. Then Sean McVay came in, though, turned Goff around, got some talent, and boom, one of the better passers.
So now Robert Woods is going to get overdrafted this year.
Right.
Well, I think to Marcus's point, too, the reason the Rams were such a fun story last year is because you don't see that all the time.
No, you don't.
You
can't bank on every team that changes the coaching staff is going to be the Rams.
Right. That's
But if it's the right coaching moves, if he had hired Mike Shula as his offensive coordinator, I don't want any part of it.
Uh-huh.
If he had brought in North Trent,
nope,
I don't want it. But if you bring in somebody who is – part of that hipster football, Doug Peterson. Like, I think that was a great move for Philadelphia. Sean McVay was a great move for the Rams.
Yeah.
You know, but when you find somebody who wants to go down the retread route, when you bring in John Fox, Right. Yeah, coach of the Bears. That offense is going to go nowhere.
Yeah.
But now it's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, we're going to try something.
There's at least hope there.
Also, the hope is, too, that Marcus Mariota had a terrible year last year. I mean, he finished the year with more interceptions and touchdowns, so that's also clouding a lot of people's judgment. However, just the year before, he had a 26-9 touchdown-interception ratio. So, better coaching staff, a healthy Corey Davis. Rashard Matthews is still there. Delanie Walker, still an underrated tight end.
Still one of the best offensive
lines. They grabbed Deion Lewis. They have Derrick Henry now as, like, their between-the-tackles hammer. Like, there's a lot of reasons to like this offense, and I think Corey Davis is – he might not hit, but he's one of those guys where you take him in the fifth round because of his
upside.
Ceiling, because his ceiling is sky high.
What receiver? Was that your wide receiver two, three?
Great question. I think it was my – hold on, let me take a look. He was my wide receiver two, so I had Devontae Adams as my wide receiver
one. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Nice combo. And then I like that. Those two, if everything breaks right, could get you 20 touchdowns.
Hey. All right, so as Alex Gilhar noted, the tight end run started early. Five tight ends.
That was one of the big things that surprised me in this draft.
In the first five rounds. That was aggressive.
Gronk in the third, pretty much always see that.
Yeah.
But then you took Kelce in the third right after that. And then the next round, we had Zach Ertz and Evan Engram go in round four. So by pick 46, four tight ends are already off the board.
I thought the Ertz pick was too aggressive.
And then in the fifth, just to round it out, Scott Fish, a friend of the pod, took Hunter Henry as well.
Interesting.
Which I think, and I've been thinking about this because it does make sense. Like, I mean, we go through this cycle. You go through cycles in fantasy football all the time where this is the year of the tight end.
Sure.
Get your bell cow running backs. Bell cow running backs are dead. Zero RB. Now bell cow running backs are back. But this could be like a year of the tight end again, because you look at that depth, though. Like, all five of those guys, I think, have massive ceilings. And we haven't even gotten to Jimmy Graham,
right.
Greg Olsen, as I mentioned, Delanie Walker, guys in new spots like Trey Burton, who's super athletic and is now potentially going to be the Travis Kelce parallel in Matt Nagy's Chicago offense. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense that you can get one of those guys that's safer if you want to invest early. Like, Hunter Henry should explode this year statistically.
Right, with Gates going.
Indeed.
But I still, with it being a onesie position, meaning that you only, in most leagues, typically start one per week,
right.
I still have a hard time sometimes reaching that high for one of those guys, unless it is Gronk.
So, Gronk goes in the third round. He went one pick before me. That was a tilt pick for me, for sure. Because I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get Gronk in the third? This is great.
Oh, no. Kelce.
Yeah, that was not great. But no, I didn't feel bad about Kelce, because if you kind of look at the picks that go after me, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, that early in the draft, it's really nice to bank in guaranteed guys.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, Kelce is one of those guys that, you know, he's all his injury problems are aside now. He seems to be running full go. And the last couple of years, he's really been a steady contributor at the tight end position. So I didn't love the pick, obviously. I didn't hate the pick either. Travis Kelce there going in the late part of that third round.
That reminds me, I want to throw this out. I know I talked about it on Twitter one time. I forget if we've gotten into it in the pod at all. But based on the ADPs in this thing, it appears nobody has any qualms about the Chiefs offense right now, even though they are going from a player last year in Alex Smith, who was an MVP candidate all the way up until like week 15 or so. To a second-year quarterback with one start.
Yeah.
NFL start.
From an air raid offense.
Yeah.
I just, like, I think that they have great playmakers around him, and they love Mahomes, and Andy Reid's a great coach, and he's going to have everything set up to succeed. But
I think that's the combination. The strong arm of Mahomes plus working with a guy like Andy Reid, I think it makes everyone feel a whole
And that
hell
he
of a
gave them the confidence to make the trade with Alex Smith. But – you know, Tyreek Hill still went as the wide receiver 14, top of the third round. Kelce went in that same round.
Yeah.
We took Kareem Hunt went in the first. So, like, you know, if that offense regresses a little bit, that's going to hit all of those guys.
Right.
Or if Mahomes is
not
is
as
electric,
advertised.
But is, you know, even if he has a good year, like if he goes out and throws, I don't know, 27 touchdowns and has a dozen interceptions or something, like that still could sink those picks a little bit.
And I will only mention his air raid guy. I'm of the mind he's going to be very good.
I think
I'm not trying to be
dismissive,
but I think that you nailed it when you said Andy Reid. I think that has enough cachet in the fantasy community or even the NFL community.
Right.
Like, yeah, he'll be fine. Yeah. Like, I'm not worried about this. If If it was some other team, if the Giants were doing it, it'd be like, okay.
Yeah, not sure about
what
it.
What are we doing?
Yeah, I just think I might feel better. I mean, I'd probably take Kareem Hunt's probably locked in as a first-round pick, but I'd feel better maybe about taking Tyreek Hill a round or so later.
Yeah, me too.
Just because, you know.
Well, and it's not just the – I mean, it's not just – The quarterback, to me, it's the Sammy Watkins family.
They also added Sammy Watkins. That's what I was saying.
I don't know where the targets are going to go. How's that going to look? I mean, is this offense going to look different?
Is Mahomes going to be more willing to throw the ball down the field? I know it's a joke to talk about Alex Smith always playing it safe, but is Mahomes going to be out there just be like, I'm going to risk it?
Yeah.
I think he is.
Alex Smith was slinging it last year, though.
No, he was, but those guys were still
wide open. There were times he really was, especially in that first game against New England.
But
wasn't afraid to go downfield. But
he's not afraid to go downhill, but, I mean, it's because Tyreek Hill's wide open. You know what I mean? He still wasn't throwing it with, you know, single-high safety coming over the top. You know what I'm saying? It's still one-on-one coverage on the outside, and Alex Smith is saying, go get it. He's still not throwing that ball if it's one-on-one on the outside with single-high safety coming over the top. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's still not throwing that ball. You know what I mean? He's still going to be safe with it. Patrick Mahomes? I don't know. You might just be like, D-gaff, here we go.
I think you're going to get some of that. I think you're going to get some games from Mahomes where he is just brilliant and lights out. You're going to get some games where it's like, what, bro, what are you doing?
I mean, the gunslinger moniker gets thrown around a lot, but Mahomes, I think, is the most recent quarterback to come into the league that actually kind of fits that because he's got the kind of effort arm strength and confidence in his arm and ability where, like, he could be like Brett Favre-ian when he's young, like, I'm going to throw some picks, but I'm also going to throw some balls that the defenders are like, how the hell did that get in there?
There you go. Round 6 was the most interesting to me in this mock draft, all right? This is in order, the number of picks that went. Carson Wentz, Sterling Shepard, Demaryius Thomas, Lamar Miller, Michael Crabtree, Marvin Jones, Alex Collins, who went to Alex Gelhar, Robert Woods, DJ Moore.
That's a reach.
Kerryon Johnson. Russell Wilson and Emmanuel Sanders. It's just – this is – to me, this is like a Rorschach test of, like, what you think of players. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of names in there, for example. Like, I love DJ Moore. I love DJ Moore. And I was, like, kind of mad that he went in the 6th round. I agree with Alex Gelhar that it's a little bit of a reach. But I tell you what, man, I was like, oh, man, I really wanted DJ Moore. Kerryon Johnson, not so much.
Alex Wilk took DJ Moore. Fantasy live producer.
Kerryon Johnson, that's a hard pass for me. I was like, what
I keep trying to get myself excited about Kerryon Johnson, and I can't. I went back and watched him at Auburn, and he was fine.
Yeah.
He's good. He's a grinder.
Just putting him, but I don't know. I just can't get excited about him in the Lions offense.
LeGarrette Blount's there.
Theo Riddick's there. Like, I mean, where are Kerryon Johnson's
carries?
Fantasy points? Or carries going to come from?
Where's carries? Like, carries going to come?
He's a talented guy, and he can run the ball well, and he can catch the ball well. But like just as a between the tackles hammer, like that LeGarrette Blount's better at that. He's got great balance. He's a big back. He's been doing it for years. And as a pure pass catcher, like. Theo Riddick's one of the best pass catching backs in the league. So even if like Kerryon Johnson is the one in air quotes, like he's got a 1B runner and a 1BA pass catcher in that offense. And that worries me about his fantasy value.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is exaggerating. If Wayne Gallman is the gap, Kerryon Johnson is Banana Republic.
He's so slightly upgraded.
Yeah.
Detroit, by the way, has not had a 100-yard rusher since Reggie Bush back in
2013.
I have a whole column coming out about that.
Oh, okay.
Next week.
No, you don't.
I really do.
Oh, really?
About what?
It's unusual streaks, whether they will end or not.
I thought you were just
praying. And does it end in D-Town this year? Little preview, little sneak preview?
Yes.
But it's going to be Leggy Blount.
It's going to be Leggy Blount.
No. It's going to be even more random. It'll be the Amir Abdullah. Amir Abdullah will, like, break off an 80-yard run.
And then somehow
accumulate 20 more yards.
Zach Zenner.
Zach Zenner.
Zach Zenner for a hundo. Yeah, that'd be great. What do you guys think about round 6 here? Like I said, round 6 is still really early in your draft, and yet you take a look at some of these picks. There's a lot of risky picks.
Not with these sharps.
You think this round is risky? I thought this round was great value for most people.
I will say, like, you, James, you took Lamar Miller in the 6th round. And I'm really having a soul-searching moment about Lamar Miller. I mean, I've moved him up my rankings. Maybe it's because I was burned by him a couple of years ago when he first got to Houston. I'm like, this is it.
This is it.
Did you read what I wrote about James's pick, though? because I said Lamar Miller might be one of the best picks you can make in fantasy this year that literally no one will care about, get mad about on draft day.
Probably right.
Zero.
Which is like your feeling. You're like, well, whatever.
Okay.
Like, it's Lamar Miller. But he's going to get all the touches.
I know.
In the
backfield. And that's kind of the soul-searching moment I'm having, is realizing that and seeing a lot of talk about it and understanding that it's true. He was like lukewarm tea when I had him.
Like kind of soft toast.
Right. Like, okay.
And this is what I had told people online too, is I'm whatever's about his actual football game. But in terms of fantasy, this guy was a top 10 PPR back when Deshaun Watson was the quarterback.
He averaged roughly 15 PPR points a game with Watson under center.
And again, that's not because he's talented. It's just that offense was moving, man.
Yeah, an opportunity.
So, I don't know, like, to get that in the sixth round as a running back three?
One of my favorite values.
Sure, what the hell? Why the hell not? I don't know.
And when I get Freddie Blue off the waiver wire.
Freddie Blue?
You want to talk about funny streaks? Harmon noted this last year, and it came true again.
What is that?
Alfred Blue, I think, each of the last 4 years has had one game in December where he's had 20-plus touches.
20-plus?
Like, it's an absurd streak. Like, of all the things, just random backup running back, every December gets, like, 20-plus touches and, like, 100 yards in a game.
You know, but that reminds me, too. Bill O'Brien is not afraid to load up his running back.
No.
A single running back with touches.
Hasn't been his entire career, pretty much.
So, again, is Lamar Miller super talented?
No.
No, but I mean.
All the opportunities in a potentially extremely high-scoring offense.
Right, and to get that in round six, I was pleased with that pick.
What else are these risky picks you feel like in round six?
What is a risky pick?
I look at Demaryius Thomas. I look at Emmanuel Sanders. Those guys are close to having the wheels fall off.
Is it because you think it's because they've fallen off, or are you worried about Case Keenum?
All of it.
Yo, they were getting brocked last year.
I think, yeah. And listen, the offense was
and they
bad
both were,
last
they
year.
Both were injured last year, too, for parts of it.
Demaryius Thomas has struggled to stay healthy. He's got that reoccurring hip issue that seems to be bothering him. Emmanuel Sanders, as a slot guy, as we've noted on this podcast many times, slot guys don't age well. You know what I mean? So
slot guys do age well. That's where you're supposed to put them. Is in the slot, like Larry Fitzgerald.
That's if you're one of those bigger wide receivers that did play the X, and then you are making that late stage transition.
I mean, here's the thing: getting these guys in round six, they're not going to be your main wide receiver. They're like Fabiano, who took Demaryius Thomas, actually paired him with Mike Evans, Larry Fitzgerald, and Demaryius Thomas. That's a pretty strong three deep wide receiving core in PPR.
3 years ago, for sure.
You listen to those three guys, I'm like, I don't like any of those guys.
I mean, I don't love Evans at the top of the second.
That's what
like,
I'm saying.
All three of those guys, well, like Larry Fitzgerald's going to catch 111 passes this year. Just book it.
That's such a middle America, Jay Leno-esque way of just, I'm a familiar name and I'm just in this spot. I would rather take the risk right there on, what is DJ Moore went in this round?
Yeah, DJ Moore.
Lamar Miller, like at least try something, because this is where you can make your hay. You don't want to be saddled with a guy who's a big name value or a big name, and you just have him on your roster forever, even though you don't want to drop him.
You don't want to.
And your only reason that you don't want to, it's Demaryius Thomas, and you're like, what does that mean to me? Like he's not productive anymore,
right?
And who is Case Keenum going to feature in that offense? What kind of offense are they going to
run? He had no problem featuring two wide receivers last year.
But they drafted guys that were ascending in their careers instead of coasting downward.
They also drafted Courtland Sutton. They also drafted Deshaun Hamilton. These guys are talented, man.
Yeah, they're not going to usurp these two, though.
I'm not saying that they're going to usurp them, but, I mean, I look at Demaryius and Emmanuel Sanders.
He's been with the Broncos forever, and then you're like, he started his career with the Steelers.
Yeah,
he's been around.
They're both in the early 30s. I think next year I'll have a lot more reservations about them. This year I think, especially both of them coming in like the sixth round, maybe later, they got a quarterback, they've improved the offensive line, they could have a decent running game too, going out and getting Royce Freeman. Like, there's a lot of reasons to like their ability to post, like, you know, a solid – 1106.
You know what?
Campaign.
That's very true. But it's to just post solid. Like that's, you want to take the 7-iron out of your bag and you're gonna lay up. Like that's fine. That's if you want to finish 8-6 every year.
I mean,
make the playoffs. And then I would rather just have. I mean, if DJ Moore's the wrong one. I took Sterling Shepard.
Well, Marvin Jones is in there too. And
what
it's
you,
like,
why are you hating Marv?
I'm saying Marvin Jones. I would much rather have Marvin Jones, because at least there's some intrigue there. You know,
I want something. I would rather have the crazy upside. And I'm like, look, I'm going to take out the big club, and if I might hit it in the woods.
You want a Happy Gilmore, right, basically.
But you know what? I could also knock that thing three feet within the pin. I mean, you saw it last year. I went back and looked at our draft that we had last year, and it's like, you see all these safe picks that make sense. Like, I understand what you're doing, and they make sense at the time, but it's like, that's cool, but that doesn't – the guys who win typically – are the ones who will take some risks here and there. And if you just want to go for the familiar, if you're on that road trip and you're like, well, I could stop at this local place, this local gastro pub, or I could stop at Taco Bell. I know what I'm getting at Taco Bell, and it's fine. Like Doritos Locos Tacos, dominant. I love those things.
Sign me up.
Absolutely wonderful. But you know what you're getting.
Right.
You could go to this place, and it could be awful, and you could get food poisoning. Or it could be one of the best meals you've ever had.
All right, anyways,
You're in Times Square.
I'm sorry.
Do I want to go to Applebee's?
I blacked out for a moment. Will you just compared Demaryius Thomas to a Doritos Locos Taco?
He did.
Well, I walk a couple of blocks into Hell's Kitchen and try a local place.
I understand your
analogy.
What you doing?
Walking into –
All right, come
I just think this was a good round because I think Crabtree's a good value, Lamar Miller's a good value, Shepard's a good value, Alex Collins, who I took, is a good value.
Yeah, can you talk about that pick? Because I love that pick.
I love Alex Collins this year.
Oh, my gosh.
He was just shy of 1,000 yards last year. He was clearly the best running back on that offense, an offense that was decimated at wide receiver, had lost a couple offensive linemen. So now this year they've retooled that wide receiving core. The offensive line should at least be the same, maybe a little better.
At least some
continuity.
Get those
guys back healthy. Right. And then Flacco, with better weapons, could move the offense more. Or if he doesn't, they've got Lamar Jackson.
Am I a bad person for not wanting Joe Flacco to be the starter?
I would rather have Lamar Jackson be the starter person.
Why is that a bad person?
I just want somebody to validate my feelings about Lamar Jackson being the starter.
Was it who was like, Joe Flacco's no Tom Savage? I'm like, have you watched these two guys play?
Joe Flacco back in the day was great, but – that's when he also had a back.
Yeah.
Like his back injury, his age, like I think a lot of things might be catching up to
remember
him.
Remember that nasty concussion he took last year too?
Bad on like Thursday night.
I love Joe Flacco. And I don't want Ravens fans to get upset with me. It's
right.
Like, listen, it's not like he played with the Hall of Fame running back and receiver for his entire career, like somebody else in his division who doesn't win as much and isn't as consistent. I think Joe Flacco, for what he's been for his career, he can go back and be proud. And he's got that Super Bowl title and everything. But you know what? I love all that. But you know what? We're going to need to bump you down to the – you're no longer headlining this tour. We're going to have Lamar Jackson. It's like when I was a kid, when I was in college, oh, whatever. I used to go see these shows. Like I was into like – I like Real Big Fish.
Okay.
They're good. The band that was opening for him, Blink-182.
Hello.
And at some point you're like, they should flip the bill.
Yeah, who's the marquee here?
They should really flip the bill.
But anyways, that's the upside with Alex Collins is last year he was really good. Wasn't the featured back like until midway through the season, basically. So this year you should assume he'll probably be the lead back in an improved offense. And there's the upside of like an exciting talent possibly taking over at quarterback. So I love him in the sixth.
You know what I really like too is the fact that John Harbaugh has been so good at manufacturing a run game no matter who is there. And he will stay committed. He will figure out a way to just produce rushing yards out of nowhere. And Alex Collins, to me, was a good player, explosive player, and he's playing in a good offense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I love that.
Again, he wasn't the featured guy. Finished last year as a top 20 standard scoring RB, and he was the RB21 in PPR.
But again, didn't come on till late.
Exactly.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
All right, we should breeze through a little more this year.
Seventh round. The pick that stood out to me was Nick Chubb. I think that was Marcus Grant.
That was me.
So, Marcus Grant, can you walk us through this? Because Nick Chubb in Cleveland, to me, there's a very unclear backfield situation there. They spent good money to get Carlos Hyde. Duke Johnson is an explosive pass-catching running back as well. I think that they need to personally, I think they need to get the ball in Duke Johnson's hands more. That being said, they've got three running backs now that seem to need touches. To take Nick Chubb in the seventh round, thoughts behind that?
It was a little bit of a speculative pick. Thinking that he could be the guy that comes out of training camp with a little bit more of a role there. Like, yeah, Carlos Hyde went two picks after that. Alex Wilk took him there. And Duke, as much as I love Duke's talent, I think we're still sort of unclear on exactly how they want to use him in that offense. But You know, I figured I'd just take a flyer here on Nick Chubb, thinking that you know, with this retooled Browns offense with Baker at quarterback and the receivers they've got. And
they still have a good offensive line.
Get a good offensive line. That somebody hopefully pops in his backfield, and I'm just, you know, right now just kind of banking on it being the young guy.
That's not bad. I kind of like that too. All right, I just kind of wanted to talk very quickly about Paul Richardson. He went in the seventh round. I took him in the late seventh, pick number 81, Lynch. Who, again, Matt Harmon took one pick before me, and I was super tilty about it, was pick number 80. So, seventh round, Paul Richardson. Am I too high on Paul Richardson? It seems as if, and again, I look at my mentions, and it seems as if people absolutely hate Paul Richardson. They're in – I don't even know if they know that he plays for Washington now.
I like Paul Richardson. I like him a lot. I think he's a definite pick to pop this year. I also think it was a touch early just because I think the consensus is that either people don't know where he is
right,
or they just don't think much of him. But I do like his potential. I think you could still probably afford to wait a couple of rounds and still get him, though.
It's interesting because if you look at where all the Washington receivers went, they all kind of sort of went in that little range, right? So
they
Paul
went
Richardson,
in a span of 11 picks.
Isn't that crazy?
It's wild.
That's crazy.
I mean, that speaks to how – because a couple things. Like, it's a talented pass-catching group. You could tell yourself a story where all three of those – any one of those three guys is a big season.
We're talking about Paul Richardson, Jamison Crowder, and Josh Doctson.
But they also have a new quarterback. So, like, who's he going to prefer? Where's he going to throw the ball?
That's a good point.
So, you know, there are some questions. That's why I think it's fine that they're all lumped into this middle range.
That's kind of interesting. All right, so I just wanted to briefly talk about the quarterbacks as well, because if you look at our mock draft, and it's publicly available, by the way. Maybe one of us will tweet it out at some point here. But if you look at the mock draft, I mean, quarterbacks in an industry mock are always going to go ridiculously late. Drew Brees went in the 15th round. Andrew Luck, who I get it, has not thrown a football yet, still went in the 16th round. Most leagues, even if you're listening to this podcast in the offseason, even if you're playing in a competitive league, I play in competitive leagues, no one drafts this way. No one, literally no one drafts this way. And I'm talking, I've been playing in long time, super competitive league. Adam Rank, you'll speak to this as well. You've been in a super competitive league. People do not draft this way, but it's important to, for me anyways, to at least get the consensus in the room here. Knowing that your home league or knowing that your hyper competitive league will not draft this way, how does that kind of, when you enter that draft, how does that kind of, change your strategy about taking quarterbacks? You hear all the time, wait on court. That's fine. But, I mean, in real life, you just can't – you don't want to be the guy, you know, drafting Joe Flacco.
I think if you're going to do that in a league where they don't draft that way, you just have to ratchet down your expectation of who your QB1's going to be and understand that you may either have to draft a second quarterback or you're going to be streaming off the waiver wire a lot. I do think the wait on a quarterback theory, it's sort of like, you know, when the American Medical Association says you have to get, like, a recommended daily allowance of, like, whatever, you know, whatever carbohydrates or you know, amino acids or
okay,
whatever, and like most people are like, yeah, that's cool. I'm still gonna eat this giant bag of chips. You know, I think that's kind of what that's like.
I don't know, Adam. Rank your thoughts.
It's like when you see there's the magazine that'll be like, hey, here's the hot styles for fall. It's like, man, I'm not paying $98 for a T-shirt. What are you doing? Like it seems cool, but it's like this doesn't help me at all. I hate these.
Industry.
These drafts, because it's like, this is, I can't think of one league I'm in where this is going to happen. And I don't play in any leagues now. I think I've now eliminated any leagues where a quarterback gets 4 points for passing touchdown. But most leagues that I'm in give crazy bonuses for quarterbacks. That's why it's like, we really need a way to express of like how your draft is going to go. There's one league that I'm in, a lot of guys who are competitive, that Deshaun Watson will not last to the third round.
No way.
He might not make it out of the first.
That's right.
Aaron Rodgers will go in the first. It's just the way – it's just the reality of it. And it's cool to get values, but in those leagues, the first – come, and I would join leagues like that. Be like, oh, you idiots. Like, I'm gonna wait, and you'll see, and I'll be streaming Matt Stafford. And then as I'm not winning this league, I'm like, what am I missing? And then you go back and you look at the drafts, you're like, oh, you got to look at the quarterbacks. And there is a difference between the truly elite – and the guys who are just average. And if you're going to be one of those people who's like, I got Matt Moore, and like, your league is dumb if you allow that to happen. But it's not practical. So you just have to know the way your league is and go back, Go back. I would suggest to anybody, more so than look. I mean, it's cool to look at these mock drafts and be like, who are the hot names? Like,
yeah.
Who are people into? Like,
that's
Paul
right.
Sterling Shepard, Paul Richardson. They don't like this guy. And like, okay, that's a cool exercise. But the most important thing to me, and I think most leagues, even if you're on NFL.com or Yahoo or wherever it is, you could probably go back and look at your draft history.
Right.
And just take a look at who goes where and what mostly what the positions are. Like, oh, my God, five running backs went, you know, and then in a era where receivers are going heavy or whatever, it's just receiver heavy.
Do a little intel.
Figure out what that is because that's probably the most important thing. But
the thing is, though, quarterback is still very deep. Like, and we had five quarterbacks go in the first six rounds, which is a little more rare for an industry mock.
Yeah,
right.
But and the thing with Drew Brees too going that late is like people need to remember that this is not Drew Brees from 2011. This is Drew Brees in 2018. He's older, and that team is run first. I tweeted this because when I first put the mock out, somebody was like, "Wow, why did Drew Brees go as the 13th quarterback selected?" I also said much of the draft happened before Ingram was suspended. Also, in 2017, once New Orleans reworked to a run-first offense,
okay,
how many times do you think Brees posted fewer than 15 fantasy points in his
final
12 games?
Fewer than 15.
Which is bad.
In last 12 games?
Last 12 games, how many times do you think he did not cross 15?
I'm going to go 5.
Yeah, I would say – I'd say less. I don't know. I thought he was still pretty good.
7. He did not cross 15 points in 7 of his final 12 games.
Interesting.
So, wow. Like, when that offense is humming, it's okay. Humming through the backfield. And it's not not the Drew Brees drop it back, sling it 650 times a year offense anymore.
But he still had 4,000 passing.
He was still good.
And he was still the quarterback 9 in standard scoring league.
But Rodgers got hurt. Deshaun Watson got hurt.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz still beat him. But, like, there were a lot of big quarterbacks that went down.
But they also, with Mark Ingram out, they're going to have to – I think that's where Alvin Kamara and the receivers will probably benefit. Well, they'll still want to run the ball more. I'm not sure it's going to be possible with Boston Scott, who I think is fine, but, you know, he's not Mark Ingram, even though you hate him.
I was waiting.
I think he could climb back up a little bit, but he's still not going to be one of the elite guys where you're talking Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, and that's it. Because I even think Tom Brady's going to not be as effective as, and I know that living with Tom Brady last year, he was fine, but
he was not.
Man,
he wasn't a game breaker.
I had to sweat some stuff out.
You live with Tom Brady, did he like, you know, dishes in the sink and stuff?
Yeah, dude,
it's awful.
But yeah, I mean,
it's
just different because, like I said, in these industry mocks, I mean, in normal league, you're not going to see Drew Brees, who again was quarterback 9 last year. You know what he's going to do. I mean, he's going to give you, you know, north of, you know, 4,200 yards. He's just going to post solid numbers, you know. Yeah, is he a 5,000, you know, 35 touchdown guy now? No.
But you're the guys that are talking about going after Watson because of his ceiling, which I get, but Brees, solid numbers. You want 15 points a week? That's going to win you your league?
He's not
going
to go in the 15th round in any league,
though. No, but I'm saying he should go much later than people will want to because of his name value. Like,
that's
Drew
fair.
Brees is
oh,
going to be,
fair.
Like, the most overdrafted.
Oh, no, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think you're right. I just think, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's
feels like we're arguing two different points there.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. So there you go. All right, so there you go. If you want to see the full mock draft results, or if you want to just read actually you can see the results and read the write-up, go to NFL.com/fantasy. Go to NFL.com/Gelhar to read the write-up. All right, let's close out your show with a round of daily daps.
Daps.
Now we're talking about dog bites and dipping.
Daps.
You know, if you like creepy rabbits, this movie's for you.
What kind of degenerate are you?
Godzilla is down there.
This is why I love this group of guys. We're like, whirlwind. There it goes. Boom.
Daily dap time. Alex Gelhar, get us kicked off.
All right, couple things. Twitter account, I've pet that dog, I-V-E, pet that dog.
Yes.
It's just a 9-year-old kid who, whenever he sees a dog, pets it. And his like parents take a picture with him and the dog, and he tells the dog's story. It's like the exact bit of like levity and cheer that I needed to inject into my timeline, which is filled with like insane football takes, journalism and politics and stuff. And then every once in a while, it's just like,
hey.
Oh, I met this dog, Sawyer.
Nice.
He's a 9-year-old rescue who loves ham. I'm like, oh, great. That's wonderful. I just made that one up. But it's a good account to follow.
Yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody, the trailer for the new movie chronicling Queen and Freddie Mercury. Remy Malek is playing Freddie Mercury looks awesome. I hope the movie is good, because if it is, I'll probably see it multiple times in theaters. Queen is amazing. If you don't like Queen, we can't be friends. Brooklyn Nine-Nine was saved. It was a harrowing. Yeah, it was going to – it got canceled by Fox, and then NBC picked it up for at least a sixth season, which is great because it's a wonderful show.
Wait, so it's going to NBC?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, really?
It's on its fifth season right now. I think the final episode is this weekend.
Weird.
And then it was getting canned by Fox because they don't like good shows, apparently. But NBC's saving it, so hooray for Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And then lastly, I had just remembered this. I didn't
From the network
rundown.
That canceled Family Guy.
Right.
We bring you. No, go ahead.
I want to daily dap the album Book of Ryan by Royce da 5'9". I don't know how to...
Yeah, Royce da 5'9". Yeah.
My buddy told me to listen to it, and I gave it a spin the other
day.
He's
a lyricist.
At work, and it's fantastic. I really enjoyed it. So.
Did you?
I would give it a... You didn't like it?
Oh, I didn't. I've never listened to it.
No, I dug it. I dug it a lot. It was really good. Like you said, lots of good lyrics, lots of good hooks and stuff. So I would give it a chance if you can on Spotify or anything like that.
All right, there you go. MG, my guy Marcus Grant, what you got?
Well, I want to start with another album. Yes. Pheno, aka Arian Foster.
Yes.
Put out a rap album.
Yeah, was it good?
It's really good.
What?
Koval and Flamingo, which is the intersection where Caesar's Palace is in Las Vegas.
Okay.
That's the name of the album. It's Koval and Flamingo is the name of the album. But yeah, it's great title. Really good. Like literally 30 seconds into the first track.
Fino?
I'm like, yeah, I'm on board with this. So go check that out. The other one, another podcast.
I'm go check that out, actually.
Another podcast that I meant to actually dap last week that I forgot about. Again, if you're in the car for a few hours, check out Lost Notes. If you are a music buff, it's a really cool podcast. Each one's about half an hour, and just kind of the untold stories behind just some weird either artists or music history. The first episode was about how the song Louie Louie, as you know it, actually triggered an FBI investigation into obscenity.
The one that goes... Dun, dun, dun.
That one, yes.
Dun, 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 dun.
The whole history of it, how the version you know was not the original version, and basically how the version you know launched an FBI investigation into obscenities. That one was cool. The other one that was really cool was one about New Edition, and the hubbub that was started in the mid '80s when New Edition, a group of kids from Boston, did a music video where they were palling around with Magic Johnson and the Lakers. And how that caused a bit of a kerfuffle in their Boston neighborhood. So, Lost Notes. Check it out. It's a fun little podcast.
Atta baby. I will daily adapt this new designer song that I ran across called Price Tag. It's a Price Tag with two eyes. Go check it out on
because designer has
two eyes in his name as well. So there you go. I have really enjoyed this Netflix show called The Rain. It's a Danish show. They
it's like about strudels and stuff.
It's about rain that is toxic. It's like an end of the world apocalyptic type show. But the rain is super, the rain that comes down is super dangerous, and if you get caught by it you like basically die.
That seems unpleasant.
Yeah, it seems not great. But it's on Netflix, and it's called The Rain. It's only eight episodes, which is a bit problematic if you like to, binge watch. You're, like, done in, like, I don't know, a day.
Nope.
So there you go. If you want to go watch that, I do recommend it. Daily daps finally to Vitor Belfort, who a UFC fighter. He fought in his last professional bout. On Saturday, got knocked out, unfortunate for him and his fans, but got knocked out in the second round by just an unbelievably gorgeous Karate Kid-style front kick right to the dome. Why am I daily dapping him? This guy has been in the fight game since he was 19 years old. He just competed at UFC 224. He was 41.
Wow.
I mean, we're talking about a sport, obviously very brutal, very taxing on the body. Guys don't survive 3 years in this sport. This dude has been doing it for 2+ decades, and he has beaten the best of the best. He's competed against the best of the best and shown very well for himself as well. Vitor Belfort will go down as one of the greatest mixed martial artists of all time. It was so fun to watch him compete all of these years, and he was definitely one of the major reasons why I am so into the UFC and mixed martial arts. So daily daps to Vitor Belfort, who said he retired after that match on Saturday. Adam Rank, what you got?
Well, since everybody's talking about television shows,
yes.
One of the Fox shows that was not saved, Last Man on Earth, from the mind of my fraternity bro.
Is it right?
Yeah.
The main character? What's his name?
Will Forte.
Will Forte. That's right.
He is, so his show is not coming back, which is too bad. It ended on a cliffhanger.
Did it?
So that was unfortunate. So. But that just allows me some fan fiction time.
Oh, okay, good.
One show that will continue on will be Barry on HBO.
Right.
Which I thought, it was funny to me when they said, Barry, this is the most unique television show I've ever heard of. It's like you took Dexter and Dexter. Grosse Pointe Blank and merged them into one, but it was really good.
It's a funny Dexter.
It's sort of got unfunny.
Oh, okay.
For the last two episodes, or it's dark humor.
Okay.
But really good. Got better each time.
Great. That's on HBO.
It was on HBO. You can go stream it right now and binge it. It's eight episodes or a half hour each. You'll blow through it. Speaking of television,
yes.
One of the producers of Total Access
came
up to me on Tuesday. He's like, hey, great news for you. We loved your article, which team is most likely to break its playoff drought? And we're going to use it on the show on Wednesday. I'm like, sweet.
Nice.
Are we pre-taping it?
Yeah.
We're going to do it live?
What time is my hit?
We're like, oh, no, you're not going to be on it.
Oh,
Willie McGinnis and Terrell Davis are going to talk about it. I'm like, well, why would – because I thought you would be happy. I'm like, why would I be happy? But you're going to be mentioned on Total – and you know what? I am thrilled. I am thrilled to be mentioned on Total – and really, the only thing left for me – is someday I will be mentioned on Tackle My Ride, and I think I will have my bucket list.
Check.
So I guess, you know what, it
is
really is.
NFL Network, like, mention bingo?
Yeah. I mean, it's apparently a huge moment for me.
I guess so.
I am being mentioned on Total Access during the off season. I can't tell you how thrilled I – you know, and it's one of those things that, you know, my wife and I will go out for
Total
a special
Access.
Dinner. We'll go out for a special dinner on Wednesday night, and I told her, I said, Rosie McGee, I need you to sit down. I got something to tell you. She goes, what is it? And I said, you're not going to – I'm tearing up even thinking. I said, you're not going to believe this. I'm being mentioned on Total Access. She said, I'm going to get a sitter. We're going to celebrate. We are going to go – we're not getting just three rolls at Tsunami Sushi. We're getting four rolls. And you know what? Edamame, too. Edamame. That's how big it is in the Rank household. So, huge moment for me. So I should have ended on
the time. Oh, my God.
But I did also – but for the final dab, I do want to – I think – I'm surprised. I didn't know if anybody would acknowledge this or bring it up. But hats off to Akbar.
Oh,
for,
my God.
You know, it's one thing, man. That I think a lot, I still long for the day that I will throw out a first pitch for the Angels.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have the presence of mind to purposely throw a bad pitch. That it was going to be – that was honestly –
very,
like,
smart on his part.
That was – and we talk about things, whether it's a work or not. I mean, obviously, this was a work.
Obviously.
This on purpose. Okay. Like, there's no way.
No way.
There's no way
a human can throw something that bad.
50 Cent, like, I don't imagine is that athletic.
Right.
Or Baba Booey, like, okay. I get. Like, this guy played football. Yeah. He used to do NFL fan pass segments with people like Deion Sanders where he's throwing a baseball.
Yeah.
And he looks like Chuck Finley out there with that lefty.
Oh, is that
he's
right?
He's humming it. You can go find it. Him and Deion Sanders having a catch. He knows how to throw a baseball. But to go out there and be willing to risk and humiliate yourself for the – and, like, look, I mean – he didn't hide from it, and he went out there, and he got on SVP. He got mentioned on SVP, so I guess I still have something to – but did he get mentioned
– on Total Access.
On Total Access. He might have, so it was probably a big moment for him.
I think we were talking about it at the bar because it was our big conspiracy theory that it was all a setup, and somebody was like, why would he do that? And I'm like
– he's what? Everywhere.
I was like, when's the last time you heard about somebody throwing out a first pitch? Like, did fine. You didn't. That's right. Like, by doing this, Akbar was – everywhere. The Not Top Sports Center thing retweeted him.
The MLB account had a side-by-side
thing about
him. 50 Cent.
He was
0% chance he did it on purpose.
No.
I think he did. 0% chance.
I swear he did.
You have been on him with Fantasy Live enough to know.
Come on. You don't believe Akbar.
Like, that's his brand, is being a goofball.
He's a showman.
If it was –
he's so good at it.
I think the nerves
got him. If it was like – Well, he played professional sports.
Okay.
He's on American Ninja Warrior. Like, he doesn't.
It's not like he was on an island where everyone's, you know, and you have to throw that ball.
We know Akbar well enough to know it's as simple as before you hand him the baseball and be like, you know, it'd be kind of funny if you
could
just botched this.
Could you imagine how famous you'd get if you actually botched this? And I don't think, like, for me, I would probably try to throw it into the Diamond Club at Angel City. Like, really just hum one. Like, I would be afraid of bouncing one in front of the plate.
Okay.
Like, because if they offered me the opportunity,
yeah,
I wouldn't let my friend, and this is me name dropping.
Okay.
I wouldn't let my friend Tyler Skaggs catch it and be like, bro, I don't want to hurt you. Because I'm going to go out there, I'm going to do something stupid, I'm going to try to throw a bender, and I'll probably end up bouncing it in front of my plate. My friend, Travis Rogers, who played baseball at UC Santa Barbara, and he's also a local radio host
yeah,
out here, he's like, I got out there and I got a little bit nervous, but he's like, but you're still throwing off, like, you've thrown off a mound so many times in your life that you're not going to do it. He was in front of the mound. You could lob that thing, but he did it. His delivery, he extended,
yeah,
he stopped at the top.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's no way that wasn't work. Kudos to him. Kudos to him. You know what? You didn't. That was the smart way to do it. I had to go out and write an amazing story.
Right.
That
right.
some producer yeah, yeah, thought yeah. enough of. They said, you know what?
You know what?
We're going to mention it on our show. We're going to mention. I hope you're proud of yourself, sir. And you know what? I am.
Okay, good. Yeah.
I am.
It's a big moment for you. Producer Christina, what do we got? Close out the show.
Well, I don't really know how I can follow up Rank's Total Access news. That's pretty big.
Huge deal.
I didn't necessarily have anything, but Alex, with the I've pet that dog
yeah.
Twitter thing, got me thinking. The other day I followed this account called Thoughts of Dog.
Oh, nice.
And it's basically, I don't know who runs it, but it's someone who will tweet
well,
as if
it's
they're
a dog,
your dog.
Obviously.
Yeah, of course.
It's obviously.
They'll tweet as if they're your dog, so when you leave, like, it's them in very short form, like, standing at window, watching human. And it's very funny. They tweet all the time.
That sounds
so. So if you want something also lighthearted, go
I
follow
I love
that.
Those. Yeah, I love
like
those
it.
Accounts.
I like it as well. All right, so there you go. That's the show for producer Christina, Adam Rank, Marcus Grant, and, of course, the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin, Alex Galhar. I am James Coe. We appreciate you listening. We'll catch you next Wednesday. Peace.